We're going to start with Ed Bouchette from the Post-Gazette, who's really become, I don't know, Josh said during the break here, Ed, that you're like Oprah. You scored the big interview here. You were at Ben Roethlisberger's house today. How did that come about, and how did it go? I know we're curious about the etiquette going into the house and things like that.
Well, I didn't wear my Sunday best, Joe. I could tell you that. You know, when that whole thing broke about Ben's engagement in, you know, after Christmas, I think they were in the playoffs at the time, I talked to him about it, and he said that he didn't want to talk about it because he didn't want to take away from the attention of his, you know, the teammates and the playoff run and everything else. And he said, after the season, I'll talk to you about it. So I said, okay, and, you know, I sent him an email, oh, a couple weeks after the season just to, you know, see if there was a time where he could do it. Well, he was on vacation at the time. He was down in the islands. But last week, his agent called me and said Ben wanted to talk. So he called me today, and we got together over at his house. You know, it's not like he can just go down to the restaurant and we can sit down there and have a conversation because of who he is. So I went over to his house, nice place up near North Park, and, you know, we talked about a lot of things. I have some more stuff to write. But, you know, I just wrote about his wedding plans real quick because that's, you know, what everybody was talking about.
Now, Ed, I don't want to give away your article. I'm sure you have some. I know this is not in there, so I'm going to ask you because we have a little bet here, Joe and I. Did you take your shoes off in that house?
I was prepared to, and Ben saw that, and he said, no, just leave your shoes on.
Excellent. Thank you. I won that bet. Let me ask you a question. You've been around athletes for obviously many, many years, and you see good ones come and you see good ones go. Again, and I know this is tough, put you on the spot, but I don't want to dive into your article. But, I mean, can you give us five athletes that truly, truly you thought were good, genuine guys? That's pretty much been the theme today. We're talking about good guys, good memories for the fans. Who in your line of work did you just take a second back? You know what? That is a pretty good guy. And without saying anything, I'm going to root for him.
Josh, this is absolutely true. There are so many more that I could tell you are that way than I think are just arrogant or bad guys. I mean, I can go up and down a Steeler lineup, and I have a hard time finding a bad one right now. Most of the guys are pretty good to deal with. They're pretty good people. I mean,
what about the past? Guys in the past, people would be...
Well, DeMonte Dawson was...
The best,
one
right?
of my all-time favorites, but by singling him out, I leave others out who are in that category. Aaron Smith, right now, you know, just a wonderful person, a good father. He has a son who has had some ailments, and just watching him deal with that. And, you know, I really, Josh, there's so many of them down through the years that I feel I'm slighting some if I point out others. You know, I Jerome Bettis was just one of the perfect guys, I think, especially for somebody in the media. I mean, he understood our job, but he, you know, he's loved by his teammates. That
right.
was obvious during the 2005 Super Bowl run. And, you know, I mean, even guys like you, I used to come over and we'd talk carpentry.
Yes.
Tell me what you were building. And, you know, it was nothing about football. I know
Chad Scott developed a special bond as well.
Well, Chad was one of those ones that was an irritant. You know, I mean, I won't deny that. I don't know that he was a bad guy, but he was just a little irritating. And Santonio Holmes was a little bit that way as well. But I don't know that they were bad guys or, you know, I've never been roughed up in a locker room, but we're not talking about me. We're talking about the people I thought were good guys. And
yeah.
Again, there's too much time here. I mean, and right. I'm willing to talk about Ben here. I mean, I have more going up on the website here real soon as they take a look at it. But, he met his fiancée in 2005 at training camp.
Really?
People think he just started dating her last July. He dated her 6 years ago, and they've been friends ever since. They kind of stopped dating and then just picked it back up.
And you wrote today, this is Ashley Harlan, his fiancée from Newcastle, wedding July 23rd. You wrote, Ed, that they wanted to have the reception at the CONSOL Energy Center, but there's a WWE event going on that night.
Yeah, and I didn't look that up. That's what Ben told me. I'll probably have to call McMillan to find out if that's true, but he knows one of the wrestlers, and I haven't gotten that far into my tape yet, but it's T something or other. I don't know these guys.
Too bad they couldn't have combined the two events. That would have been tremendous.
Yeah, well, that's what I said to him. You know, I said that would have been a hell of a party. He's going to have over 500 people because he's inviting everybody on the all his teammates, his coaches, front office people, and, of course, that's two for every invite. It's going to be huge. They don't have a reception hall yet. They have to find one.
We're talking Ed Bouchette of the Post-Gazette here, presented by Wright GMC in Wexford and Mount Lebanon Office Equipment. And, Ed, I don't know why, but I find myself curious just about your interaction with Ben in the house. Did he offer you a little something to drink or eat, or how did this go?
No, we just sat there. I mean, he's a very comfortable house. It's big, but it's not pretentious. And it's on the end of, I mean, you could drive right up to the gate. Now, he does have a gate over there so people can't wander up the driveway. But, very good. He's got a lot of trees, a lot of woods out back. There's a lot of chopped wood there, and I asked him if he chopped it himself. He said he did, and I went, really? And he said, yes, really. He's got a nice big pool. Of course, it's covered right now, but it's just a nice, comfortable home. And, his two dogs, he has two dogs, and he had them in the garage while I was there, so they wouldn't attack me, I guess. Maybe they read the papers. I don't know.
Hey, Ed, let me ask you a question. Did he seem more at peace, more at ease? I mean, he gave the best shot. When you come back, he couldn't knock on every door in Pittsburgh and say, I'm sorry. So he let his play speak for him. I know he didn't win the Super Bowl, but, man, you don't get any closer to that. Did you find him to be a little more at peace?
Oh, hey, Josh, I have found that ever since he's returned. And when I say returned, like in June, when he came back in June,
mm-hmm.
That he is more at ease. He seems more at peace. He's easier to talk to. He's not edgy. He was very relaxed today. I mean, he was very, we just wore relaxed clothing and mm-hmm. Just came back from a fresh haircut. He's going down to the Masters. Well, he's going down in that area. He may head over to the Masters. You know, he has a place down there, but he's going down there tomorrow. But, yeah, very at ease. We sat in some big old stuffed chairs.
Josh, you want to take it from there? Josh is motioning over to me, Ed. We're talking to Ed Bouchette of the Post-Gazette, talked with Ben Roethlisberger.
You know, this wasn't Howard Hughes I talked to.
Well, it was close in this town. bigger than that in this town. What about football-wise, though? You mentioned
that. We talked a lot about football, Joe, and I'm writing that for Sunday, so I don't want to give too much of that away, but I will tell you one thing. He has – nah, that's going to be my lead. I can't tell you that one.
Come on, Ed. You're teasing us now.
I can't give it away.
Is he confident there'll be
football?
You'll
read about it Sunday.
Give us one little treat from football-wise.
He has in his game room the name – his name over his locker from each Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And it says Ben Roethlisberger, Super Bowl 40, Ben Roethlisberger, Super Bowl – what was this? 43, and then what was this one? 45. Well, the 45 one, the other two are down there like, I don't know, kind of like trophies, you know.
Sure.
And the other one, he didn't put down in the trophy room. He put it in the bathroom over the mirror so that he has to look at it every day to remind him that they lost that Super Bowl. It still kills him. They lost because what he has said all along, and what he repeated again today to me was, I want to win more Super Bowls than anybody. And he said that was a chance to win a third, you know, and it got away from him.
Talking to Ed Bouchette from the Post-Gazette about his interview with Ben Roethlisberger today. And, Ed, we appreciate you coming on, but I want to leave you with this. Josh was asking about interactions with the locker room. There's a legendary story, and I wonder if you were there. I wonder if Josh was there. The Richard Huntley fight in the Steelers locker room at Three River Stadium. What went down there? Did you see it firsthand?
I was there. Yeah, there were. Josh, were you on that team? It was 2000, summer of 2000.
Yeah. Gildan and.
It was the last one at. It was the last summer camp. It was the last June mini camp at Three River Stadium.
And Old Earl.
And they got into a little tussle. Earl Holmes and what's his name?
Huntley,
the running back. Richard Huntley. Got in a little tussle on the field. It wasn't much, so several of us kind of charged in the locker room as the players were going in. We didn't wait until they all got in. And we were over talking to Richard Huntley about the little tussle, and all of a sudden Earl Holmes comes over and starts, you know, "You want a piece of Big E? You want a piece of Big E?" He starts pointing, jabbing his finger at Huntley. And we thought he was kidding around, but all of a sudden, bang, the whole locker room explodes. Jason Gilden picks up those wooden stool, one of those wooden stools, and starts swinging it two-handed, like, yeah. Like a swath. And it just spilled from one angle to the other. And I remember after it calmed down, Bill Cowher finally came in later and said, "Hey, what's going on here?" But there were no cameras. There were just like three or four of us reporters in. And if there were cameras in there, you'd be seeing that today still as one of the all-time, like, I don't know what category they'd put it in, inter-team turmoil.
That was a rough one.
Sharp Pordanis said to me after that, he comes over, he says, "Bouchette, I don't want to see this in the paper tomorrow." And I just looked at him, opened my eyes, and just kind of shrugged and moved on. Of course, it was in the paper the next day.
Ed, great stuff. We appreciate you taking the time.
All right, fellas.
Thanks,
good
Ed.
Good show. Thanks.
That's Ed Bouchette. Quick memory from that little scuffle, Josh?
I remember the best thing to do is you have to fake dead. So I laid on the ground, and Joel Steve came over, poked me, sniffed me, and went away. I was very relieved.